This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A downgrade of two French banks. More signs Europe may be on the verge of a full-blown debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will travel to Europe later this week, and he'll do something American cabinet members rarely do, attend a meeting of European finance ministers. Today, Moody's downgraded the credit ratings of two of France's biggest banks, Société Générale and Crédit Agricole, because of their exposure to debt problems in Greece, Italy, and Spain. Also today, the German, French, and Greek leaders are holding urgent talks about the crisis. Now, for weeks, European financial markets have taken a beating because of fears that Greece is about to default on its debts, and other countries, too. The BBC's Christian Fraser is with us now from Paris with the latest. Hi, Christian.
Hello.
What kind of an impact will the French banks' credit downgrades have in France?
I think they've already paid the price, to be honest. We've seen share prices tumbling to their lowest level since 2009, down almost 50% over the summer, because there have been these concerns for some time about their exposure to the debts of Greece, Italy and Spain. And that is reflected in today's decision to downgrade them, albeit that it's not as bad as it could have been. They were only pulled down one notch. And obviously the French government is trying to put a positive spin on it.
The leaders of France and Germany, Christian, are having this conference call with the Greek prime minister. Has anything come out of that yet? And what is the French president Sarkozy going to be saying to leaders of Greece?
We're told they're in constant communication with the Greek prime minister, but the concern of both the German chancellor and the French president is that they're not meeting their targets that were set for them in June. It's very difficult for the Greek prime minister because he is battling very strong public sector unions. But, for instance, they were expected to sell off public assets to raise 1.7 billion euros, and they've only raised 400 million. So there's a big shortfall. And what is at stake here is the next tranche of this bailout money that Greece needs to pay public sector salaries and its pensions. If they can't convince the eurozone that they are stepping up to the plate, then obviously there is the very serious risk of a default.
We know that the German people aren't very happy about bailing out Greece, but what do French people think about this eurozone crisis?
Well, obviously the epicenter is Greece, but the reverberations are being felt now quite acutely in the French economy. And the big challenge for the French president is convincing not only the markets, but his own public 6 months from an election that Greece can be saved, but that it won't impinge or impact on the French economy. And that's not an easy one to pull off. So the way he handles this crisis over the next month will in some way impact on his election campaign. So there's a lot at stake for him, not just in terms of the economy, but also politically as well.
The BBC's Christian Fraser in Paris. Christian, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Well, despite all the rumbling in Europe today, global shares are actually mostly higher, about 1% in Europe on average. 6 months after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, Toyota says it's back up to full production at its plants here in the U.S. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow nudged up 44 points to close at 11,105. The NASDAQ tacked on more than 1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
President Obama today will again hit the road to pitch his American jobs bill. He's going to be in North Carolina a little later. And as far as jump-starting the U.S. economy goes, government really has only a couple of ways to do it, through fiscal and monetary policy. They're very different and often confused. So to help us understand the difference, I've asked Marketplace Senior Editor Patty Hirsch to come in and give us a little primer. Hey, Patty.
Hi, Steve.
So fiscal and monetary policy, what's the difference between the two?
Well, you know, they're both ways that the government stimulates the economy, but fiscal policy is what the government does directly. That's tax, spend, and borrow. And it does this through the Treasury. Monetary policy is what the Fed does.
The Fed, the Federal Reserve.
Right. So the Fed uses various methods to keep money flowing through the system at just the right rate to keep inflation low and to keep people employed.
But isn't the Fed part of the government?
Yeah, but not in the way the Treasury is. Have you seen the movie The Godfather?
Well, of course, yes.
So you know who Tom Hagen is, right?
He was the consigliere, right?
Right. Yeah, he advises the family on how to run their business. Well, in the government, the Treasury Secretary is like the consigliere. He advises the President and the Congress on how much to tax, how much to spend, and, of course, how much to borrow when they run short. So once the government decides what to do, the Treasury, they do the business.
All right. So who's the Fed?
The Fed is Luca Brasi.
Oh, the assassin!
Yeah. So Luca, right, is not a fully paid-up member of the family. They contract him, they have oversight of what he does, and he checks in with them now and again. But otherwise, he has a pretty free hand to do the business of the family, if you like, using the various tools at his disposal. Right, well, the Fed is pretty similar to that. The governors are appointed and overseen by Congress, but they can use any of the tools that they have.
So what are those tools? I mean, we're not talking piano wire and guns here, are we?
No, no. But the Fed's instruments are pretty blunt as well. You know, it adjusts interest rates, it lends to banks, it makes the banks hold certain amounts of reserves at the Fed, and this is all to keep money flowing through the system. The problem is, it's used all of those tools, and we're still not moving. So right now, the Fed looks a bit like Luca Brasi standing in the street with like a bent knife and a busted hammer and an empty gun, and the target's still coming.
So that's it?
Well, no. I mean, the Fed may be out of the picture, but the Congress still has options. The problem is that the Congress, in order to get anything done, taxing, spending, and raising money,
right,
they're going to have to agree. And just like a family of warring mafiosi, right now they're not agreeing on anything.
Marketplace's senior editor and whiteboard guy. And you've got a whiteboard
on
this,
yeah,
right?
We've got a whiteboard on this. It's all there at marketplace.org. You can check it out.
Patty Hirsch, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And finally, a collectibles store in Las Vegas is selling a piece of literary history on eBay for $50,000. It is a note written by the late reclusive author J.D. Salinger to his maid. The memo instructs the housekeeper to get her work done before she goes on vacation because he, quote, doesn't want to be bothered with insignificant things. And the note is formally signed J.D. Salinger. While the note itself will cost you a fortune, that insight into his personality was free of charge. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In an economy with more job seekers than jobs, there is a certain dilemma to be had, a trade-off, if you will.
There's an older segment of the working population that brings experience and a certain wisdom, and the younger generation brings a wonderful vitality.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs through the ages, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.